Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is a team of voices sharing open poetry with Liquid Damage. That's me. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Foundation. We thank A.P. very much. Our group is filled with love and respect. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. We offer open microphones so you can share your voice with us. There is something different going on with us every single night of the week. You never know what we might have up our sleeves, so come on and join us. Anyway, hello, everybody. Carmine's here. Hi, Carmine.
Hello, my dear. It's so wonderful being with such talented, gifted people.
Right on. Yeah, we got some good poems tonight. I mean, really good. I read them over today, and I was astonished by the just some of the poetic genius that goes on, you know, and you wonder, like, man, where does that come from? I mean, these people are digging down in their souls to come up with this stuff. But, yeah, really, really good stuff. Well, let's see. If a child refuses to nap, are they guilty of resisting arrest? Come on, guys. You're out there. Poeta de Cabra is listening. Meet me on the chat board for a second because I lost the title of your poem, and I wanted you to go first. So I need the title of that poem you were going to read last week. So if you're listening out there, let me hear your voice. Anyway, you got a joke for us, Carmine?
Yes, I do. I tell you, you know, Linda, there's an old saying that says, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Well, I've revised that a little bit, and I'm saying now, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you.
That's funny. I like that. I'm going to remember that one. I like skydiving jokes. They're funny. What musical instrument do you find in the bathroom?
What musical instrument do you find in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Well, you can find a bass drum with the boom boom.
No, close. How about a tube of toothpaste?
Okay. Oh, hey, that's good.
Silly, huh? Silly, huh? Well, let's see. Maybe we should get back into the studio here. Nobody's showing up, huh? I guess we can start out with the SoundCloud. First, let me go and dig out Frank's poem, which I need to go back into all poetry. And here it is. So give me 1 minute. And okay. Frank's link is on the board under my name. Do you see it, Carmine?
On the chat wall.
It'll be the bottom message. It says liquid damage, HTTPS, allpoetry.com. And it says The Dark Man by Poetic Picasso.
Oh, okay.
You got it?
Oh, yeah, that's The Dark Man. Okay.
Yeah, The Dark Man.
I have it.
Okay.
I have it.
Okay, let me go back into the studio and start his SoundCloud. And this is a good one. Okay.
A hellish leviathan was sent to purge the perversion of man. A lethal pandemic with the poisonous strain of an agonizing consternation, encompassing the ravaged earth with a contagious and ravenous hunger. The indelible face of the devouring claws of the black death resuscitated. Sirens of desperation reverberated over the deafening silence of lambs, the scourge of mankind unleashed to punish the usurpers of avidity. The tower of Babel tumbled, and its walls cracked and crumbled into dust. But the bold legions of evil grasped the blossoming sows of righteousness. The covenant of the Telerian tribes of brethren was thus split asunder. Forsaken was the loyalty of the faithful ones of the seed of Jacob in his soul. The blinding vengeance of the purge had swallowed its blustering rampage. The dreadful hour of the wretched sin of an eye for an eye exacted. The putrid stench of human flesh and broken bones pervaded then. of a haunting sound, a provoked madness, an implacable incontinence. And from the cavern of fire emerged the unholy servant of the darkness to fulfill the manifestation of the ominous omen of evoked prophecy. He who walked behind the lingering shadows, the dark man. He who walked behind the shadows, the dark man.
Yay, Frank. Frank, you have outdone yourself with this gory, scary piece. I can't for the life of me figure out where you get such scary inspiration. This verse 4, let me pull it up. The putrid stench of human flesh and broken bones pervaded then with the haunting scent of provoked madness and implacable incontinence. And from the chasm of fire emerged the unholy servant of darkness to fulfill the manifestation of the ominous omen of evoked prophecy. Wow, that is just so well written. And just what a devilish creative mind you have. The imagery in this was chilling, and the whole ambience of the piece screamed. I love this piece, Frank. You just got to remember you are the deputy of doom, the sergeant of scary, and the master of macabre, and we bow to your scariness, Frank. Thank you very much. And since Carmine's the only one here, let me get you a comment from Carmine.
Well, I'll tell you, Picasso, the line that really, started off with this dark imagery and the fear that, permeated the whole work was that indelible face of darkness, the devouring claws of the Black Death, resuscitated, which comes back. When you're talking about the loyalty of the faithful, which had been forsaking, it's really, it's a fear. It's the fear of the darkness, and I fear that darkness is death itself. The unholy servant of darkness. Well, who is the dark? Who is the darkness? Well, that's evil itself. So, Linda is right. She's correct when she's talking about the master of dark imagery. You did an excellent job on this, dear sir. And he who walks behind the lingering shadows, the dark man. Whoa. You don't want to be there. You put it right on.
Right.
Thank
on.
You.
Right on, Carmine. I'm sure Frank would
thank you.
Truly be appreciative. And let me see something. Where'd he go? There it is. Since there's nobody here commenting, let me get some comments from his poem. Kay says, sirens of desperation reverberated over the deafening silence of lambs. Sent to purge the perversion of man, forsaken was the loyalty of the faithful. He who walks behind the lingering shadows, the dark man. Those lines truly bring the central figure to life. That video is the author's note. When Randall shape-shifted, he was not pretty while hiding behind the looks. Thank you as well for bringing this for tonight, Frank. The audio was awesome, and I appreciate it and what you bring to the show. Very cool, Kay. Thank you very much. I'm sure Frank has read these. I just wanted to get him something on the air. Let me see. Next, I've put up Dreamstar's poem, and I'm going to read that for her since she needs a reader. So did you get it, Carmine?
Which one is that, my dear?
It's Love in the Dawn by Dreamstar's.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have it. Let me just
you got it?
Check it out here, okay? I'll be hang in there and I'll go. I'm so good at this, and you know, like they call me they call me the dinosaurian, Lord have mercy. It's true.
You
it's
got
true.
It.
Yeah.
No, everything's cool. It's just you and me tonight, I guess, Carmine.
Wait. It seems sweet. I don't want to wait too long.
Did you see the link?
Say, Lordy, give me a break. All right. No. Okay, and the poem, my dear, is Love in the Dawn?
That's it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, there it is.
You got
all
it?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Yay. Okay, this is Love in the Dawn by Dreamstar's. Love in the dawn. The starlight guided her. Pines join overhead, that thatch of their branches reaching toward the sky. All around were hilltops, large and little. Views of the forest in between them. She takes a deep breath, the aroma greeting her nose, the brilliance of trillions of stars reflect in the pools of her eyes. The glory of the great night lay before the infinite greatness. She dipped her sight into the coolness and brightness of the sky, like one would dip their hand into water. Dreamily she watches the dark blue with the specks of white light turn slowly brighter. It's then she sees down below her, her lover sits under the shade of an old birch. She slowly goes there, as if walking on air. The brilliant morning is bright as her slight smile. In poem. I think this is just so sweet. Give me 1 minute. She has just become a wow on my scale. But no, my lovely friend, you have whisked my heart and soul to the land of enchanting. This is so beautiful. With love as the essence, I am totally inspired by this. Your eloquent, poetic language is above and beyond magical and flies in the stars and is brilliant to the eyes of the onlookers. My favorite part is the brilliance of a trillion stars reflecting pools of her eyes. The glory of the great night lay before an infinite greatness. Very beautifully said, my dear friend. This little brevity shines so bright with awesome metaphors and insightful views. Thank you, sweetheart. This was a powerful powerhouse, and I loved it with an 11 on a scale from 1 to 10. Great job. Yeah, she's a fabulous little writer. And Carmine, what did you think?
Well, what you had said, as far as the work is concerned, is very complimentary to her. And I will have to agree with you, my dear, because it is very, very romantic in tone. I mean, when you see the sights and the sounds of the night, she uses the senses in order to bring out the emotion and also the mood of the setting. Especially like the aroma greeting her nose, that, you know, that's very colorful, and that's, you know, that's very, should I say, poetically said. Like you mentioned, a trillion stars reflect in the pools of her eyes, the pools of her eyes. When she speaks of the light and the bright coming in the morning, she's so satisfied, she's happy. And why? Because of the contrast, you know, from the darkness into the light. And then when she opens, when she sees her lover. And that contrast over there is very much about life. I mean, some she may be in, she may be happy, she may be putting on a, should I say, some kind of facade in respect to her being happy, but she's not truly happy because her lover is not there. However, when he is before her, then her light brightens, her life brightens, and she is what? She is elevated into a whole new world. That's poetry. That's what she has, and she has a wonderful gift there. So you're right. Bravo for her.
Right, right. Yeah. And let me, well, where'd she go? She's got another comment on here from Kate again. A fascinating write. The power of words is knowing how to mingle the metaphor. Nature is a good port of mind in building on the feelings within their connection of roots to the earth. Very cool comment, Kay. Thank you very much. And Christopher McClure says, nice work. This was very pleasant to read. Thank you for sharing. And she replied, thank you for the comment. Yeah, this was a really sweet little poem. And next we have, we're going to do Titus, and let's see, oh, do you got it? It should be on the board.
It's the lock descending, my dear?
That's it.
It's the lock descending.
Pull up the words. And then put on his SoundCloud. Where are we? There we go.
The lock descending. As one hawks in some downy meadow thrift, Hildin gives me a closer look amongst the family name allure today, but one shift would disturb locks leading any angst to some place other than that first spot. High above a variety of smatterings, a slight declension from the lark, who would defiantly squat over numerous weeds, some seed scatterings whereby a dwindle of delighted did spark. In idle nooks a fledgling still would hide, for as long did not the wind shifts chime beyond the hedgerows from that sultry side, mark a forbidden roam one shall not climb, and not till daybreak didst the lark display the height in which did feeling's paradigm did brighten, not to frighten once again, where verbal task spray thought it might descend upon me the meantime. Songs fill the sky in turn to sorbent gain, but thence grounding itself for quite a while, what then among the shrubs I behind still, to oversee the outcome, head out first, or so on first thoughts, where men do sit to hear each other groan, here palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, yet beauty can but keep its lustrous eyes. A few lone pines beyond them seeks to borrow. Time shall move no more than tomorrow can hail a lark to lift this spirit of mine now, A weight no one can say can no more fail. A lowly glide, how can it not allow to lift all hope, to carry on the wind? An alpine reddish grin our faces tend, loom blends in well the open countryside, more peaceful to have sinned. A heap high mound would have it spend some time to have one's patience duly right. A lark descending will have time best swept away within a still life motion's plane. The moment has been spared, for it has kept a reminder to find the trail. A true gain, it speaks, free time is to steal a flutter from where I sat again, now willing soar. Transcending twilight, 'twas a phantom lark. It was not a given utter from where I stood. I am more than sure descending whilst before, then after dark.
Wow. You know, this is a wonderful ode to the lark, Tony. Your love for nature shines through in this beautiful piece. I totally love and respect you for all your lovely nature poems. They thoroughly shine and bring out your true ability to love nature. This piece shows your patience to watch the larks, and your imagery shines for these lovely birds who sing on the wing. And this is an interesting fact about the lark, is they're one of the very only birds that sing in the air and fly at night. And, yeah, but that's really cool that they sing while they're flying. And I don't think any other bird does that, or very few birds do that. But let me see. My favorite part is, time shall move no more than tomorrow can hail. A lark to lift this spirit of mine. Now await, no one can say, can no more fail. A lowly glide, how can it not allow to lift all hope, to carry on the wind? An alpine reddish grin our faces tend. Loom blends in well the open countryside, more peaceful to have sinned. A heap high mound would have it spend some time to have one's patience duly ride. But I just think this was a wonderful, very poetic piece. The language in it is eloquent and artistically used, and the imagery had me watching out my window to my meadow in hopes to spy one of these amazing birds. But I thank you, Tony. This was inspiring. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I see his poem so eloquent in the fact that the lark is free. It heightens the man's spirit. It shows within all of the lines, it shows an appreciation for the beauty and the freedom of nature, and especially with the lark gliding, as he mentioned. The lines that really got me, very motivated, was the lark descending will have time best swept away with a still life motion's plane. Then he says, the moment has been spared, for it has kept a reminder to find a trail, a true gain. What trail? To me, it's a trail of life. To me, it's your aspirations. To me, it's your own happiness. To me, it's finding a purpose. And so, as the lark, as nature, as everything has a purpose, especially with the perfect example of the lark, then it is, as he said, a true gain. This is to him, and to the one who finds that, is a blessing the way it should be. And so he has something similar to an ode to a nightingale, which, you know, is a little contrasting. But as always, Titus, you are a master at this, and bless your heart there, sir. You are an excellent poet. Excellent.
Great comment, Carmine. Let me see. Oops, I got off of it. Let me go back. Titus is a poet of just high standards, and his stuff is just outstanding. Laurent says, to be a part of the scenery, an observer who does not disturb but appreciate nature, both literally and metaphorically, is remarkably well put. The language is lyrical, and the lark in its song sings for us as well. A lark descending will have time best swept away within a still life motion's plane. The moment has been spared, for it has kept a reminder to find the trail, a true grain. Impossible not to appreciate what you've created here, my friend. Your pen has never been better. And that was from Laurent Yvan. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, so I'm sorry. David John Brompton says, the passion you have for birds and nature shines through in the Ode to the Lark, clever work. And Ovenek says, it is a beautiful piece of the scent of a lark, penned in artistic language. The third unit of the poem is an allusion to John Keats' Ode to a Nightingale. Thank you for sharing, Tony. Wonderful. He does gain respect and deserves respect for his masterful artwork. Okay, next, I thought we would do Obenex. Can you find that on the board, Carmine?
Obenex.
It's called To a Poet.
The title, let's see, Obenex.
To a Poet.
Yeah, okay, To a Poet?
Mm-hmm.
Is that To a Poet, my dear?
Yes, it is.
Okay, this is wonderful, okay.
Uh-oh, where'd my link go? Okay, I got to go back and retrieve the link because I lost it. But if you got a joke, Carmine, right now would be a good time to do it.
Yeah, okay, why now? Look, how did a baby tell his mother that he had a wet diaper? How did a baby tell his mother that he had a wet diaper?
I don't know, Carmine. How did a baby tell his mother he had a wet diaper?
Well, wait a minute. He sent her a pee mail.
Very cute. Okay. I got my link back. So I will read To a Poet for Obenex. And I hope I do it justice. This is beautiful. To a Poet by Obenex. How do you set up, I wonder, words that obtain the heart to bear them in freshness that stays, your quill skill to command them to bring themselves to swing about leaves like branches? Show me, poet, how you got so equipped with the facility to display eye-catching numbers. Lines take through the mind's air like birds in wings flapping from stem to stem. Their tweets get the woods fancy filled. My world seems the abode of elves when the beat all through the pages from the unit is lit to glow by your pen. What my ears do see is a song of frothy rivers. Wow. Let me see here. This is such a lovely piece. The first work is so commanding of my attention. It is beautifully written with a touch of wonderment in it. Now, the second verse is where the heart and soul is found. Your truth to me is to look deeper to express our emotions and display our love without a bunch of verbal salad messing up the point. The poem has lovely imagery and metaphoric influence that are beautiful, and your creativity here is abundant and in total enchanting way. I just loved your imagination. You took me for a ride on the wings of a bird in a forest where elves are hiding. Thank you, Obina, for joining us tonight and sharing a piece of your soul with us. Please come back again. This will be Obinex's first appearance on my show, her poem, and I want to thank her greatly for sharing it with us and put out an open invitation to you to come back anytime. My shows are the second and third Fridays of the month, every month at 10 p.m. Eastern. Anyway, Carmine, what did you think of Obinex's beautiful poem?
Well, over next, dear writer, I do want to commend you for your wonderful tribute to the poet and to the gifted people who have used their pen to enlighten others' worlds. Of course, you question the poet's ability to use his words when you say, like birds in wings flapping from stem to stem. You make comments when you say that the poet's words enlighten people, that the glow of the words so expressive, move people. They moves their emotions. It arouses their thinking. Fulfills this and sensitivity. There's so many fresh ideas that are written by the pen. Give a person a vicarious journey wherever it may be. Even if it's a fairyland, what have you? It could be like some of the writings that we've heard tonight in respect to the dark man. So the contrast, the colors, and everything that the pen brings about is all about life. Let's face it. And then when you give tribute to that gift, well, like he has to a poet, you'll have to commend him on that. And the first choice that Alvinex, you had selected in respect to Liquid Damages show was excellent. And so we say keep on running, and truly bless your heart for your comments about that little guy with the pen or that beautiful princess with the pen. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Carmine. Next, I thought we would do Pee-wee. He has a SoundCloud, and it's called Wolves. Can you see that? It should be on the board.
Okay. Yes. Okay, I have that.
You got it?
I do have it. Good old Pee Wee.
Okay.
I'll tell you, he's something else, that gentleman. Yeah,
let me, okay. All right, are we ready to go? Here it
Wolves.
Goes.
Ready, we're ready.
hand that feeds and the plate we're given to eat off of on this here mortal coil are cruel and uneven, respectively. Years till now, rife with pain and sorrow, loss and regret, pestilence, disease and depression. It's one of the universe's truths I hold. Tain't fair, life. Matter of fact, I go out on a limb to say it's probably the cruelest, coldest, most unfeeling bitch a fella could ever happen across, God willing. Occurs to me there's no justice or balance, no karma or manifesting a destiny or anything divine at all. What there is kind men and suckers. Mind you, I hail from a dirt pole cotton picking family down Mississippi Delta way, and they's quite probable the nicest bunch of low-down hillbillies that you ever's likely to come across. Paul and Sally and Granny Gert and Uncle Jed and hell, the whole damn bunch of them. Just the nicest, most lovingest, most likable group of suckers you ever gonna meet. And I love them dear, each and every one of them. But there's always gonna be dirt pole cotton pickers. To get ahead in this air life, you gotta be one of the wolves, them kind men. The fellas you see drive into town on a Friday afternoon, and then they's leaving with the pastor's wife and daughter on Sunday morning during church. Everybody tells me, Sam, you just a dirt pole cotton picker, but I says to them, y'all, just wait. One of these here days, I'm gonna be a wolf. Man, y'all's gonna respect.
Wow, Pee-wee, this was so well written. You had me in an emotional pull. Your poetic cotton picking language was so cool and real that I have to bow to you. What kind of story of love for one's family and decay of society all blended into one genius act of art. You've captured the true essence of the South here, and I truly loved your story. My favorite verse was verse 5, which, let me pull that up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mind y'all, I hail from a dirt pole cotton picking family down Mississippi Delta way, and they's quite probable the nicest bunch of low down hillbillies that you're ever likely gonna come across. I thought that was brilliant. Mind you, if you hail from a dirt pole cotton picking family down Mississippi Delta way, then they're quite probably the nicest bunch of low down hillbillies that you're ever going to meet, come across. This gleams with Southern reality, my friend. Your imagery is just so realistic. Great job, Pee Wee. Thank you for the awesome look into the South, my friend. You did a fabulous job of bringing the, and let me tell you something, Pee-wee, you are a wolf. You are the wolf, my friend. You have come up in life and you are the wolf, and I respect you for that. I respect you for your poetry as well. Carmine, what did you think of Pee-wee's awesome poem?
I love that. I'm telling you, I may use a little of this colloquialism because it's right. It's southern to the core, but I would say southern to the bone. He says, to get ahead in this life, you got to be one of those wolves, the con man. It lies for that smooth-talking guy is leaving with the pastor's wife and his daughter on Sunday morning during church. Man, they're slick fellas down there when they're the wolves. Well, what you gonna be? You're not gonna be an old cotton picker. But someday, one of these days, you're going to give me respect. And you know why? You're going to give me respect because I'm going to become a wolf. That's why. So can you see? I mean, you can see the picture. It's perfect. I mean, it'd be such a phenomenal scenario with these people whom he loves around a hot stove talking about those wolves coming into town, trying to take their ladies, just by that fast talking, whatever it may be, even if it's gibberish, but nothing but being influential. That's what they is. Super job. Oh, man, I love that. you hit it right on, as the beautiful lady would say. And you've got the touch. You've got the touch of the old South. And you know what? That brings color to the show. And we all of us would say, right on, bring in some more.
Right on. I hate to tell you, Carmine, you sounded more like a 70s pimp from the show Starsky and Hutch rather than a southern cotton-picking, low-down cotton-picking.
Well, I lived down south for much of my life. You
did,
know, I lived in Tennessee, then lived in Tennessee, we're going to South Carolina and all. And but I never, as a teacher, I never got to speak, you know, in their colloquialism way. I was, you know, I always try to be as much as eloquent as I could possibly be. However, I appreciated it. You know why? Because they're sincere. I mean, they talk like that, but that's their language. That's their setting. That's their scenario. That's their life. And then you're gonna find the South. They're happy people. They're quiet. Yeah, they may be procrastinators, but nothing else. They don't move them. They're gonna live life and enjoy it. But they don't like the fakers, you know. And that's what he's saying here. They don't like the con man. And that's all part of life. Yeah.
Right on. You definitely have something to say, Carmine. We love having you.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Well, I'm going to speak from my heart there, you know, and if there's something to say and you allow me to say it, well, I'll say it. But with sincerity and honesty, I can't be any way else. That's where I. That's where I is.
Cool. Okay. Next, we've got a collab between Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider. It's called Love Began That Day. You got that link, Carmine?
Let me see what we got here, Doug. That's the very beginning. I believe that's the first one. Love Began That Day. Oh, that's it.
Okay, you got the words?
Yes, I do have the words.
Okay. Love Began That Day by Heavenly Angel, collaboration with Easy Rider. You were the man of my dreams, I must confess. You would always wave at me as you passed by. Then you brought me a beautiful yellow rose to impress. I felt a happy tear fall from my eye. I will always remember that special day we met. You came into my life bringing love and romance. It was a day, my sweet, that I'll never forget. Hun, I knew you were the one, the very first glance. Sometimes the perfect person's right there the whole time. Darling, you touched my soul from the start that day. Every moment we spent together is ever so sublime. Each beat of my heart, it says, together we'll always stay. Those days I passed you by, babe, all along I knew one day I'd spend the rest of my life loving only you. In poem. Wow. Heavenly Angel does these collaborations with Easy Rider, and they've all been so beautiful. But, oh, this piece is simple romance to a T. I love how you inspire the day that you both met and how important that day is to the both of you. Your emotions cry out to be held by each other, and that is so special. Like two peas in a pod, my favorite part is sometimes the perfect person's right there the whole time. Darling, you touched my soul from the start that day. Every moment we spend together is ever so sublime. Each beat of my heart, it says, together we will always stay. Because that verse is just so beautiful and says it all. When you meet somebody and you just know at that moment that they are the one, from the very beginning you just know this is a true piece of beauty that two hearts have found each other in all the chaos of the world, and they just know it's right. Beautiful Ink, my dear friend, beautiful. Thank you for your sharing this with us, that we may know how possible true love at first sight really is. And you, darling, teach us that with each poem. Thank you, Heavenly Angel. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, let me say it's very romantic. We see the writer's Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider again. You know, portraying their magic. It talks, as I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you, my dear, where it says, sometimes the perfect person's right there the whole time. Well, how many times people look in the, all kinds of directions? I mean, they look here, they look there, they look there, they find here, they find there. They try everything, and before you know it, it's right before their very eyes. And so is it a surprise? Well, sometimes it is, but when they find that person, well, there it is. It's the whole difference. It's the whole difference. And I do want to most agree that flowers make a difference, constantly make a difference, especially roses. Well, in this case, it was yellow. Well, a yellow rose is very warm and very affectionate. A red rose is powerful. The red color is powerful, but it shows that the woman's intuition is very strong in this case, because she knows that this one is the one, and the love beats. The love beats in rhythm. The love beats heavy, and we see over here that the rhyme, the flow, and the emotions very smooth and very affectionate. And I don't think you can get any other expression in romanticism as love began today. She puts it all together in that beautiful world. And the both of them have a lot to be thankful for, that magic between them always comes up with something very powerful and very beautiful.
Yeah. You know, when my husband first started courting me, I would find bunches of roses on the hood of my car, like, all the time. And he brought me flowers from then on, all the time. Until I had to tell him to stop, because I have this thing about drying flowers, and I was running out of places to put them, and I just can't. I don't have the heart to. I don't have the heart to throw them out.
On the table all the time, all the time she has
right.
flowers, and she appreciates
right
it.
On.
Yep, she does. So
I had to tell him to stop because. Because
yeah,
I don't have the heart to throw them out.
Show love, especially man, to show the love and respect,
yeah.
not only doing things and but sharing things. And flowers mean a lot. They mean a lot to a woman.
Yeah, he gets me flowers on special occasions now, but he can still buy me flowers because I think he's in hearing mode. But anyway, yeah. And some comments for them are Oakblue 34 says, you and Easy have it going, a strong right with lots of depth. Definitely feel the emotions and the love. Well done. And Dark Night of the Soul says, "Oh, guys, this is so sweet. I read the country music influence and feel the connection." And Angel Wing says, "You've written a lovely love poem here. Excellent ideas and intense emotions. I appreciate your entering my conscious, and I wish you luck. Lovely share." You guys, you nailed it, and I thank you very much for sending it to my show tonight. You are always, always welcome. Thank you very much. And let me see something. I asked my dog what was 2 minus 2. He said nothing. Wah, wah, wah. The pony couldn't sing because it was a little horse. Well, people would be laughing if they were here in the studio, but not yet. So anyway, I think we'll go on. I think Carmine has a beautiful piece of poetry. And
would you like me to read that now, dear, or would you have other selections?
I do.
Would you like me to read that now, or would you like other selections?
Yeah, it's on it's on the board.
Oh, okay.
And you
may,
you can read it anytime your heart desires.
My heart desires to read it right now, if it's okay. It's called Symphony.
That's quite all right.
Hours long, late, tedious, previous to my fingers touching keys, softly emulating into melodies, created in the shadows of my mind, where in silence I find and place into magnetic musical tones of new movement, a story of love, embracing their feelings in tides of kisses, emotions hard to control, exhilarating the soul toward lasting harmony. Instruments scream for their role, a toll I separate with delicacy. Satisfied, placing my pen, pencil on paper, alive in shades of tempo and crescendos, my heart yields a final nod. Thank God. Praying its finality moves multitudes. Interludes, rollercoasting with moods of color and conflict, web the lovers entangled in the madness of war, crushing her heart for him nevermore. Climatic strings end in tears. Piano, a background of blues. French horns mourn the tragic news. Cellos soft with oboes cry, bidding a young love's by. Bravo! Bravo! The crowd roars. I stand. I bow as the applause empties my heart with jubilant tears, justifying all those years, now treasured and endeared. The world premiere of my symphony.
Beautiful. Oh, Carmine, this was a symphony of joy to me. You are a genius maestro. Your step-by-step creation of the symphony of love is one beautiful journey. You took me on a trip of monumental delight, so wonderfully written, my friend. I could hear the instruments in verse 4 play. Beautiful music. Beauty to my ears. This show the heart and soul it takes to create something so wonderful. You must be so proud to have written such lovely music from the soul. What a gift you have, and I don't think there's anything more enchanting than to be able to inspire people with music and poetry, and you are a maestro of both, my dear friend. Carmine, and I am proud to be your friend. Thank you, dear Carmine, for this inspiring piece of poetry. You showed the love and just how much it takes to create something of such monumental relevance. This is beautiful, Carmine. And let's see what some other people said. Patterson Mahoney said, indeed, it is better to love than never have loved before. Who cannot recall love's beginning? Beautiful poem, Carmine. Love your title, your title as well. Thank you for sharing your beautiful poetic talent with us. And that is poetic talent. Nana 27 says, the melody and the poetry meet here in this wondrous composition of both powerful notes, aired and emotions worded to bring beautiful images swirling with your lines and having your reader there in the midst of the audience in a standing ovation. Beautifully penned and so very much enjoyed, hoping this day brings you sweet blessings and peace, as we all do. You have some great followers, Carmine, and indeed that is totally, I'm losing my words, but I mean, you totally deserve the love that you get.
I appreciate it, my dear. It warms my heart. You know, I have worked many years with composers, and it's in my veins, and sometimes it becomes very frustrating because the magic it doesn't flow. But when it does, and you get the bravo, and you get the feelings, which I had on many occasions when my when my musicals had been performed, we had standing ovations. There is one, you cannot believe the joy that you feel. There's tears in your eyes that you have been accepted, that you have moved people, that you have put some entertainment and joy in their lives. So all the pain and all the, should I say, sometimes frustration that you find and clogged and locked in the room for 2 or 3 days until this thing works, this comes to pass by the jubilant applause. And so I live those words, my dear. And hearing from you what you and many of our other dearest talent writers of our family have said, for an old guy, I'm sorry, but the tears come to my eyes. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, Carmine. We love you, Carmine.
Well, I love you too. I love you too. You know? I want to make a comment here. Why is Peter Pan always flying? Why is Peter Pan always flying, my dear?
Why, I don't know why Peter Pan is always flying, Carmine.
Because he never lands, that's why.
Okay. Let me see what I got. I'm running out of good ones, though. Did you hear about the mathematics who's afraid of negative numbers, the mathematician who's afraid of negative numbers?
Did I hear about the mathematics, negative numbers?
Did you hear about the math who is afraid of negative numbers?
Oh, no, I didn't. No. Can you tell me?
Well, he'll stop at nothing to avoid them.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
Yesterday, I saw a guy spill all his Scrabble letters on the road. I asked him, what's the word on the street?
I don't
that's
know. What's
poor
the
one.
Word on the street?
That's that was it. What's the word? That was it. What's the word on the street? Because he left all his travel keys on the road.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, here's a good one.
You know, you're pretty good at that, Linda. Yeah, you really come up with some clever ones. I enjoy them. I really do. You know. That's
okay, here's a good
show,
one.
Too, sometimes. You know, just, I don't know.
You think? Well, here's one that'll
make
the show.
Yeah, you got it, girl. You got it. That's good. I mean, you know, you break it up here and there. Lord of mercy, you know, just, well, you got colloquialism, you got jokes, you got horror things,
right.
You got music, you got lyrics, you got love poems, you got, wow. That's entertainment.
Yeah. Well, here's another one.
Payment.
A bear walks into a bar and says, "Give me a whiskey and a cola."
What was that again?
A bear walks into a bar and says, "Give me a whiskey and cola." "Why the big paws?" asked the bartender. "I'm not sure. I was born with them."
Okay.
That's kind of a silly one. Okay, back to Biz. I thought we would do Beautiful Blade next, Miss Mars, and she should be on the board. Birthed in Darkness is the
birthed
poem.
Birthed in Darkness?
Yep.
Okay. I love that title, Beautiful Blade. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it?
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Carmine?
Yes, I have it, my dear.
Okay. Let me turn on the SoundCloud.
Birthed in Darkness. At a loss for air, my bones gasp for oxygen. I sprout hemlock and nightshade from the hollows of my collarbone. Water death with the tears from my eyes. Each touch of my skin brings agony, and blood burns the earth on which I stand. I am widowed by the depth of my wails. A never-ending onslaught of disastrous sounds until I find myself alone with my thoughts. I let out another wail, another gasp for breath unlike I have ever known before, and I find myself cradled in a moonlit serenade, sung by the fireflies to the luna they long for. Plant my poison in the dirt, breathe life into the leaves that sizzle with the burnt umber brown of my blood, a reminder that each vein is burst through pain. There is a palpable fear, a discernible desire for the end of days with every breath I take. I am sorry, I cry. Sorry for the burden of my being. I wish that I was good enough. End poem.
This is truly a Born from the Darkness piece. It is so well written. I'm impressed by your poetic language. It's utterly beautiful in this piece. However Dark has such a lovely feel to it. I wanted to take you in my arms and hold you till the pain had left your soul, to comfort you through your need. This piece gave me feelings of emptiness, like there was nothing I could do but tell you how beautiful your words are. You are a beautiful soul, and you are a lovely heart. And no matter how dark your story, I can see the light in you. Keep up writing, and you are phenomenal. My favorite part is verse 3, plant my poison in the dirt, breathe life into the leaves that sizzle with the burnt umber brown of my blood. A reminder that each vein is birthed through pain. There is a palpable fear, a discernible desire for the end of days with every breath I take. Just so stand out vertical in my words. You clinched this with authority, and I thank you for sharing with us tonight. And you are a beautiful writer and a beautiful person, Blade. I thank you for sharing this with us. Carmine.
Yes.
What did you think?
Beautiful, Blade. You did an excellent job. I'll tell you, the title itself, Birth in Darkness, is an excellent title because it's a hook. It's a hook title. When people read the title and say, okay, now we know what to expect. It's, yes, it's dark, but it has wonderful imagery in it. It depicts some despondency by one's own misgivings. However, when you mention that, you know, you're not good enough, well, that means that there's a self-lack of own self-confidence. You can see and feel the depression in your work of worthlessness, but that's, you know, that's not the way it should feel, but that's the way you do feel. When you say that you're widowed by the death of your walls alone with your own thoughts, yes, you have your own thoughts, but those thoughts make you what? They make you cry. So you got a lot of comparison in your work, dear, and it's really excellent. When you continue to write like this, it's much appreciated by not only our family of gifted writers, but also others who can feel, and I say that with really capital letters, can feel the emotion of what you're saying, because it becomes a reality. It's not an illusion like, you know, it's theater. It's a reality. And people who are feeling the same way can appreciate that. And there's so much mental blockage today in this world that it needs caring for. So thank you, as our dearest host would say, and BYH, which means bless your heart.
Right on, Carmine. That was sweet. Let me get her a comment from the board. Robbie's poetry says, I wish that I was good enough is such a primal way to feel, a primal state of being to be in. The visceral nature of this poem makes me want to make some music inspired by it, and perhaps to write my own piece on which such thoughts arise in my mind. I was thinking over the last couple of days how one's mind can be both our greatest ally and our own worst enemy. This reminds me of that narrative a bit. Also, it reminds me of perception, like how we are essentially good enough, but we don't see it yet. I remember hearing that in a movie. You're a good person, you just don't know it yet. And Kendall says, nice work, Mariah, on the excellent, deep, well-written poem. Thank you for sharing, and congratulations on your well-deserved front page pick. Oh, right on. She got front page pick for this. Let me see what else. Excellent poem. Excellent poem, my darling.
She read it well, too.
And yeah, she's an amazing, when she reads her stuff, It's amazing. She's got such emotion in her voice.
It was. I was listening on the phone. Man, I was taken back. And,
Hatter.
And well, yeah.
Hi, Hatter.
I think I was calling. Sorry, I'm late.
Sorry, I've been flying solo tonight, so I've got many things to do. Sorry, I didn't answer you into the studio.
That's okay. I snuck in. I have a key.
Ah, that's right on. Well, next we're going to do mine. And
is this just open, right? I'll go throw a dart.
It should be on the board. It's called Big
Corns and Bread.
Is that
Big Corns and Bread, my dear?
That's it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I see a nice picture there.
Okay. Mama always said, dear, follow your heart. Papa said, kid, use your head. Love is what it takes to get you through, she would say. He'd say, it's big cars and bread. Papa was the boss, that's just how it was, and Mama did just what he said. Keep the house clean, have my meals served on time, and I'll go make lots of bread. Through the years, Mama loved him with all of her heart. She'd boast he's the hard-working kind. Papa loved money, but mostly himself. To this, she thought Mama was blind. Papa worked hard, his job was his life, and he just had to have fancy stuff. So for years, Mama waited for him to realize that they already had quite enough. On nights he was late, as he'd walk through the door, he'd be smelling of perfume and beer. Had to work late, got my supper, he'd yell. Each time, Mama'd answer, yes, dear. Mama never let on that she knew where he'd been, and Papa thought he was so sly. She'd smile and kiss him in spite of himself and pretend to believe all his lies. She found herself thinking back to the days when they first fell in love and were wed, when they laughed and held hands and never had thought about having both big cars and bread. So now all's not well, but she knows in her heart that he's the same man she adored. He's just spent all their lives, and soon he may find it's their love that he now can't afford. Mama stayed strong year after year, and she trusted the love in her heart. Someday, she would say, he'll trust his love too, and then they could make a new start. It broke Mama's heart the day Papa left. I wish it had been his heart instead. All that he said as he walked out the door was, I'm taking my big cars and bread. She never saw Papa again after that. In my eyes, my Papa was dead. But I saw him one day and could tell by his looks that he'd run out of big cars and bread. Mama died young from a broken heart. That day, I stayed close by her side. I'll never forget what she whispered to me. Her last words barely spoke as she died. Follow your heart, it will lead you to love. But to keep your love safe, use your head. Hearts can be broken by love that gets lost, and sometimes from big cars and bread. I wish she had lived just a few moments more. I'd tell her of Papa's lost wealth. She'd know that the biggest lie Papa told to himself. Without the big cars and bread, Papa found that he also didn't have any friends. Without any pride, his heart had become as broken as hers in the end. In poem.
Oh my God, that is beautiful, my dear. That is absolutely beautiful. The story of infidelity, story of a facade that just kept on being endured by the love of a mama for a husband, trying to forget, trying to put up with situations that broke her heart. And finally, when he walked out the door, it was like a death. because it was his going. And then, as you mentioned over here, it seemed like he was dead. However, the when you depicted it so eloquently in respect to, you know, his falsity and infidelity, proving that, well, he was a man, I'll go out and know I'm the bread man, I make the bread. That's not the love that lasts. It's the love, it's the heart, it's the 100% on each part that keeps that love aglow. It's the flowers, it's the touch, it's that gentle kiss. It's not just the cars and the bread. That, you know, that fades. And then I can say this with all sincerity because my wife had been married 64 years. But your poem over here is true to color, true to life. And so eloquently done that, I mean, it just warms my heart. You've got it, my dear. And this one here, I feel is, well, I love many of the other ones, but, you know, some make me laugh. And but this one over here it's very touching. Very touching, very emotional, very true, and even, you know, quite personal, because in my family, there were situations just like this, and it's no fun. So bless your heart, my dear. You did an excellent job. Excellent. And
thank you, sir.
The way it's been expressed, it flows like, you know, water coming out of a faucet. Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I've praised your work before. I mean, I love the way your cadence goes. It's solid throughout every write. But this is your best.
Really?
The storyline, the sadness, the betrayal, the emptiness, the despair, it's all there. Very well done.
Thank you, Hatter. Yeah, this is kind of a piece that's close to my heart. Although my mother didn't die of a broken heart, it's pretty much a piece of her life and a piece of mine. Anyway, on to bigger and better things. Hatter, did you bring a piece?
You know, I ran across something that I don't think has ever been, it might have been read once. And I didn't read it before I picked it. So we'll just see how it goes.
Okay.
That's okay. The Picking of a Rose.
Wait for Carmine. Carmine, did you get that?
Yeah.
Which one, my dear?
The Picking of a Rose.
Let's see. I don't know if I have that.
It's by Jay Hatter. It should be on the board.
What's the title again?
The Picking of a Rose.
A Picture of a Rose. I don't have that, my dear. I got Magic Neon Poet. I have
refresh your page.
Refresh.
I have Love and Adorn. Maybe Wolves Descending. Love Begin That Day.
It should be the very last thing. If you don't see it, refresh your page.
Let's see the very last one I have. Well, My Dear Into Eternity. Then I have Big Cars and Bread, which Linda had. But I don't have the other one, my dear. I don't have it.
Oh, you're not looking on the chat wall, are you? You're looking in the. You're looking in the. What's it called, Hatter?
Page. It's
your
topic page. Your topic page, right?
Right.
Who's looking where everybody puts it? Yeah.
Right.
He's good at the chat.
You need to go on the chat wall where it says a team of voices, and then there's a bunch of links.
The thought bubbles up on top. Click it. The messages.
I need to go where? It's hard for me hearing here, dear.
You want to go to the chat wall where it says a team of voices at the top, and then it's got a little box with the chat on it, and there's the links to the poems that I've brought up.
He needs to. He can't hear me very well. Tell him to go up top and hit the messages. That will bring up the groups.
Okay.
Yeah, go up top to the. Did you hear that?
The discussion in the fire. Please add personal. Seymour. Let's see what we got here.
It's the very last thing posted. If it's there.
Yeah, it's there.
I'm sorry, dear. Once again, the title? What?
The
picking of a rose.
Of a rose.
Go. Let's see. Have them click on. If he clicks on our group name. Find the team of voices and click on it. That should take them to the art chat. Do you see a team of voices? Click
yes,
on it.
I have that here. You know, I've got topics. I've got open poetry. Let's see.
You know, do you see where it says a team of voices?
I got it all here. I got TVs. I got Love and the Drawings, Stupid Reader, poetry.
Then just have him refresh his page by just clicking on another page. Go back a page or something, just so you get a new screen.
I don't want to be keeping my dear friend having his work read, but maybe it's best
we'll
you
get
just
you there.
Read it, okay, for the folks, and then I'll listen in, okay? Because I am not that, should I say, adequate with this.
Will it give you the words? Will it give you the words on your equipment?
Yes, it could, but
when he reads,
you know, I don't know. Let's see. All right, okay. Try it now. It'll see what happens. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, Hatter, go ahead.
Okay,
it's coming through now. Okay.
Okay, you got it.
If you read it, it'll come across here. It'll come across on my screen.
Okay.
He's got equipment, Hatter, that'll help to help him hear it because of the word.
All right. The picking of a rose. Oh, my eyes. Okay. I watched her fall fast asleep. She showed the years and the lines that crossed her face. I remember when she was just 20 years with a voice that was too perfect, that angels gathered each night to hear her sing. The blues was colored. She colored, brought men to their knees. The scales she would sing would stop in mid-step, wondering. From the upstairs flat, she would bring the house down. They gathered in bunches like cows to a baritone. For years, they knew her voice was not her name, but not her name. She was the answer to boredom and stress. She filled concert halls and cathedrals, but the best was the alley where memory still lived. I remember her first hit song. She would whisper it all night long. She would sing it to me like I wished it would be. Her first gold record came too fast. She had she would have two more overnight. She knew I loved her, and I knew she couldn't love me back. But I could leave, but I could not leave. I was stuck in a world of music that I could not play. The day came when she went on TV, the show about singers that had no rivals, the show where they asked the most stupid questions and they called her royalty, but by a different name. It was changed to better fit the marquee, a name no one would forget. Red carpet nights doubled then tripled each year. I just wanted her to sing so I could hear the voice that tickled the feathers in my ear. I watched her cry when she was alone. I saw her lie when she was on the phone. She was lost in the lights that colored her world. I would ask myself, how did this happen to this beautiful girl? She held my hand so I might understand this was not what it was supposed to be. She needed nothing I could give, but she trusted me to watch as she lived her inner wonderland. I never asked her about how she feels, what a fantasy, what was real. I knew she was still that freckled-faced little girl. I remember the day it went away and nobody knew her name. With all the cars and mansions and money, it could never be the same. Tonight she cries in her sleep and there are no dreams. And there are no more dreams. A fantasy, just reality of being alone. Tonight she sleeps like a thousand times before. I watch the lines cross her face and a tear from the dreams she cannot have. I held her hand for the last time. How I wished it different and she was mine. That music takes front and center, given those things that come free to us. I stand here now without the whispered songs, without her smile or the trust she once gave. Her name was Alice. Did you know, did anyone know that? She gave you the music you wanted to hear. She gave you her life year after year, and you do not know her name.
Wow, Hatter. That was deep. The beginning of it, I watched her fall fast asleep, and she showed the years and the lines that crossed her face. I remember when she was just 20 years with a voice that was too perfect, and angels gathered each night to hear her sing. The blues she colored brought men to their knees. That is just, like, so emotionally drawing. It's amazing. This just shows of somebody's dear love for another person who's who they can see is going to spiral down, but they don't see it themselves. And you you stood there by her side and took, you know, what you had to take just to be near her. And this one, I watched her cry when she was alone. I saw her lie when she was on the phone. She was lost in the lights that colored her world. I would ask myself, how did this happen to this beautiful girl? And there it is. You know, you say, why? And how did this happen? And it hurts your heart. But you've written just an emotionally tugging piece here. I'm amazed because this is different from your normal stuff.
A little bit.
But, yeah, a little bit. It's sad. And most of your stuff, although some of it's sad, it has a bounciness to it that makes it up a little bit. And this is really sad. And the ending, she gave you the music you wanted to hear. She gave her life year after year. And do you not know her name? And it's sad that people go through this. And then, you know, a few days after their heyday is over, nobody remembers them. You know, that's got to be just tearing their heart out. To know that they gave their life to entertain people and now nobody remembers them. Sad, sad, sad. Carmine,
Well, I tell you, he had in this book, he painted a perfect picture of the facade that people put on in the entertainment world. Yes, you don't know their name, and they're in the spotlight, and the spotlight covers all their heartaches, all their pain, and for that one moment, they're lost in themselves. They're lost in the performance of their song, and of course, the spotlight, you know, is like burns a hole in their heart, which maybe the life does. Now, all the gold that they get, all their mansions and everything, can never fulfill their hearts of happiness because there's an emptiness there. And then if there's a case of someone loving someone but does not get the love returned, you can't live with a half a heart. And that's where the tragedy comes in. That's what you said. It's sad. Okay, so as I mentioned before, I have experienced many people who have lived that life. And what do? Some of them go into take drugs. And some of them get disillusioned. And before you know it, they start, drinking. And the bottle lets them down. So the bottle lets them down, drugs lets them down, the music lets them down, especially when they start fading and they're not accepted anymore. Then before you know it, it's like this man was talking about. And he said, well, he goes and helps them. And by helping them, they get lifted a little bit, but not enough to make them what they are, the human being that they want to be. You did an excellent job, my friend, excellent job, because, as I said before, I lived and I knew people who had been exactly the same as you have written in your poem. So the picture is perfect, and it's very revealing. And as our beloved host says, it is sad. Commend you on that, very much so.
You are exactly right in what it's written to. That's exactly it. The music industry helped chew you up and forget you just as quick. And through the eyes of somebody that was in love with her, but knew that she had to do this, so she couldn't love him back.
Your husband.
Really good.
Your husband. That's what you is. Yep, well, I'd say you is, but that's what happens. It's cruel. Yeah. Very cruel. It's like an angry sea. And when you get caught in the waves, follows you.
Yeah, most of them back in the day changed their names, so they really aren't the person you think they are.
That's right. And there's the facade. They live behind. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you what. And this is I hope you don't mind my saying this, my dear host, but people wear glasses, to be cool. Well, those stars wear glasses to hide away from the world. Those glasses, so they don't see in the world. In other words, the dark glasses are, the curtain, so that they don't have to face that madness that's before them. That fame is not fame. That fame is it fleets. It's very fleeing, and before you know it, what they thought they had, they don't. So.
Yeah, it's like it's with the what creates these elitists. It's these guys that you see their whole career; they become untouchable. They can't go out in public. They lose a little touch with the where they came from, I guess, and they can only associate with other people in that elitist group. Other millionaire, like sports stars, A lot of them can't, you know, can't go out in the public. Movie stars too, so they only associate with other people that are basically having the same trouble.
Right, right. Yeah.
And then you go, well, yeah, that's weird. Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Right on. Yeah, very pretty piece. Okay. Next up is Phil. We have a SoundCloud for him. His piece is called Rivals.
Okay.
Oh, well, we're running out of time, but
Carmine
might have a joke. Got a joke, Carmine?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I went to the doctor, you know, and the doctor told me that jogging could add years to my life. Well, he was right because I felt 10 years older after I jogged.
Very cute.
Yeah. Okay, you go jogging, you get all in mind, it's going to add a lot of years to your life. You got that right, Doc. I'm half dead.
Right on. Okay. Now that I'm 10 years older, we will do Phil's SoundCloud. you got it. You got the link, Carmine. It should be on the board. It's called Rivals.
The one is on the Rivals.
Rivals, right?
Rivals by Phil the poet. Yeah, okay, okay.
That's the deal.
I have it. Yes. Okay, my dear.
Okay. Let me. Not that loud.
Oh, I see. The infinite destruction. Is it? That's
yeah.
Not it?
No, we'll get to him.
Yeah. Okay, let me.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Rivals. Back in the good old days of Formula One, where racing was dangerous and a lot of fun, two rivals met searching for success, trying to prove to each other who was best. One was seen always with two girls in each arm, sweet talking them with his English charm. Drove without fear, always trying to be in front. Playboy of the era, James Simon Wallace Hunt. The other was more tactical, always seeking perfection. Always straight talking, to win was his only direction. In 76, he seeked the championship every hour. The no-nonsense Austrian, Niki Lauda. Rivals on the track, but they always had deep respect. Hunt lived for the moment. Lauda always had time to reflect, both eager to gain pole position, gain the points to win. Lauda wins another race as Hunt takes a spin. Then one day at the old racetrack called the Nürburgring, fans all over the world witnessed the most terrible thing. Lauda's Porsche crashed and went up in flames. Drivers tried to get him free. He would never be the same. He returned to the racing track to everyone's surprise. They saw his face, but couldn't believe their eyes. The whole world applauded the courage of this man, but to win Formula One was his only plan. Last race took place in Japan, where the rain did fall. This was it. The winner would surely take it all. Halfway through, Lauda left the race without shame, as Hunt came third. To win the final game. End poem.
Wow, that was like so cool. I mean, Phil has a way of telling a story and making it rhyme that is just phenomenal. And whew, took my breath away on that one.
Yeah,
see.
I remember that. I remember Niki Lauda getting burned being burned.
Yeah, I remember that too, and I wasn't really into racing, but I did a little bit when I was spending time with my dad, but this was just such a sweet little story. It was very interesting, and I mean that in the most respectful way. What a great honor to two very special athletes. Your rhyming was out of this world great, as usual, and the imagery was sparked with flair and inspiration. What an amazing storyteller you are, Phil. Not everyone can write a great story and make it rhyme, and I totally respect you for that, and that you write with so much empathy in your words. That is a special quality you have, and this piece shines with that. My favorite part was verse 5, showing the strength of this man. Thank you, Phil, for showing us a little empathy for the best. You are the best. Thank you, Phil. Hatter.
Yeah. I love it. I'm on you. Yeah, you're right. The storyline is complete and keeping it rhyming. Very well done. I'm always impressed with Phil's work. And, I remember Nikki Lott. I think Jackie Stewart was narrating the race, I believe so.
Wow. That's cool. That's cool you remember it that well.
But it's sort of a famous broadcast, the way Jackie Stewart, when he crashes. They don't play it often, but it's a historic tragedy.
Right. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, the rivals in this case actually portray life itself, because competition is competition. And there's rivalry in any kind of sport, especially in this case, the racing sport. Sometimes it could be extremely dangerous and death-dealing. Of course, you have two different characters. And then, of course, you have the scene, you have the race, you have the mood, you have the atmosphere. You have two different characters, as he's saying here. One searching for success, the other being very tactical, and somewhat of a perfectionist. However, they are the best of friends. However, even the best of friends, when it comes to a competition, well, I'm sorry, but I'm the best. As far as the accident was concerned, there's a tragedy. But the tragedy of the man who had overcome the fire with only half a face returned. Now, he had to have a lot of courage, a lot of determination to do that. It was very compelling on his part. And in retrospect, he won. And in doing so, of course, he proved to be the better of the two. As you mentioned, the flow of the rhyme and the continuance of that of the story was excellent. So yes, Phil, you are a poet, and we highly commend you. I highly commend you and all of us in the family of our dear poets. Say keep on rhyming, because you've got a lot of talent there. And it is appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you, Carmine.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on. Hatter, do you want to read Lawrence, or you want me to do it?
No, you go ahead. I barely got through mine.
Okay. It should be on the board. Let me see. Yeah, it's called Stupid Palm Reader. Do you see that, Carmine?
Yes, I see it.
Okay. I'm going to try and do it justice. This is Stupid Palm Reader by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie in Stupid Palm Reader. Okay, who's next? Step right up. No pushing, no pushing. Everyone gets read. Alfie. Hey, Nigel, what are you doing? Nigel. Hey, Alfie, look, I pretended to read these humans' palms. I'm a stupid palm reader. Who's next? Do you have the $20 fee? Yes? Okay, you're stupid. Who's next? Step right up. No pushing, no pushing. In poem. There was a, what did I say? This was like Monty Python tongue-in-cheek humor. Bravo, Lawrence, your charm and wit come shining through once again. I think you have an amazing sense of humor and an imagination that could only come from your heart and soul. The last verse is so cute, it made me giggle out loud. My husband must wonder what's going on over here at my desk. But, Lawrence, all I can say is you are a funny man, and I respect humor because it's so hard to do. I know because I try to write it, and sometimes it doesn't come out very funny. But keep up the funny stuff. I, for one, love it. Carmine.
Well, you know, he says you have cats reading palms. That's pretty cool, but let's face it, he's only pretending. But he's making good money by being a pretender. And if people buy it, by his pretending to make them, you know, feel great by telling them his own interpretation, that's good for him because he's making money. And guess what? How many people are suckers to what people say? And in doing so, you have a combination of being comical but also being realistic. Sure, it's funny. It's funny, but life is also in many ways funny too. And some people take advantage of that.
Right on.
He's got a good title too. Stupid Palm Reader. That's a good title.
Yeah, this one was more subtle than most, the humor in it, but clever as usual. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I can see the Monty Python type humor. Did you read the author's notes? Your wife says you don't buy her flowers. I didn't know she sold flowers. Am I crazy?
Right.
Yeah.
That's totally a Monty Python type tongue in cheek. That English British humor. Okay.
Yeah, well,
got Lawrence.
Keep it moving. We got 6 minutes. How many you got?
We have Infinite Destruction and then LG Mace. So I was going to put Infinite Destruction should be next on the board.
Okay.
It's already up there.
Yeah, I got it. I got mine.
Carmine, do you have Infinite Destruction?
Yes. Yes. Let's see.
Okay.
It's called My Dear Into Eternity. Yes.
That's it.
Okay, if nobody wants to read it, Hatter, you want to read it?
I could try, if you want me to try. Okay, I can try.
Okay. It's a really good one.
I have found my final place. Oh, aphotic? Aphotic? How do you say that? Aphotic?
Apoptic.
Okay.
Apoptic.
I have found my final peace, enduring a pursuit that wouldst never cease. Plagued, I implore evermore for release. Haunted, a world that lied
of the golden fleece. Into blindness twas I fairly, unfairly born. Into the light my eyes staggered, traveling forlorn. Into nothingness, vision of mystery to mourn. Into grief consumed over what I couldst never adorn. Tell me what exactly is color, my friend? Darkness shrugged with empty hands. Tell me, wouldst ye explain that day is then? What day is then? Darkness spoke, nay, there I have never been. The stars are they as bright as I have been told? Surely this ye know, for in every night they ye hold. Nay, they pierce thy like knives with their light so bold. I'm sorry, and powerless am I. Such beauty I shan't ever behold. Different, I feel nothingness. 'Tis new. Still in darkness embrace, now death there too. Intimate a door, his guiding hand softly tore me through. But darkness followed, the friend I've never always knew. I've always knew. I suppose I'll go, taking their hands pleasantly, as the somber song rang out, a beautiful melody, as death joined darkness and they sang just for me. Come, my dear, into eternity. In poem. I am so sorry I screwed that up.
No, you did fine. You did fine, Hatter.
And
all I can say is, wow, wow. What's that?
Yeah. I should have read it first.
Yeah.
One of those. Those woods.
I should have given you a heads up.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is, wow, wow, wow. I can't even begin to tell you how cool this piece is. First, your poetic skills killed, and eloquence is state of the art. My favorite part is the stars. Are they as bright as I've been told? Surely, 'tis ye know, for in every night they ye behold. Nay, they pierce like knives with their light so bold. And powerless am I, such beauty I shan't e'er behold. Different I feel nothingness as 'tis new, still in darkness embrace, now death thereto. Intimate a door, his guiding hand softly took me through, but darkness followed the friend I've always knew. I just think this was so well written. The imagery in this is striking, and the it's just got a feel of a forlorn love. Pee-wee, I think you are a poetic genius, and you write from your soul. This is a quality not all or many poets have. And I so look up to you, and I will look forward to hearing your work. Real quick, Hatter, do you want to say something?
Well, we got less than a minute. If you want to say your goodbyes on the air, we could go overtime. You got less than a minute.
Yeah, let me say goodbye to everybody. Carmine, Hatter, Infinite D, Lawrence, Phil, Blade, Carmine, Frank, Dreamstars, Titus, Obenex, Pee-wee, Angel, LG Mace will do you in overtime. Thank you all for coming and making my show what it is. It was brilliant having you tonight. And my shows are the second and third Friday of the month. Thank you very much, y'all.
You're most welcome, my dear. You have a wonderful evening and a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're not done yet. We still got...
You got all that in. Perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it all in.
We're going to continue, Carmine. That was just for the people that were listening live. It ends.
We're still recording, though, right?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you now.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you want to stay and comment on Infinite Destruction's poem?
Yeah.
Carmine?
Yes. I'll just expect my feelings and I do want to make mention that it's an excellent poem. The rhyme, the flow, the sensitivity is very deep. The lines I really love was, as death joined darkness in this, they sang just for me, call my dear into eternity. Well, he's comparing the blindness with death. Yes, death is an unconsciousness, but it still remains dark. And as far as blindness is concerned, even children are born that way. So there's nothing new between the darkness of the two, of death and the unconsciousness, of death being unconscious and also of being blind. He takes questions about the world that he doesn't see. I mean, I love that he says, stars, are they bright as they say they are? That's very powerful. But then again, it's also powerless because he can't see. And, you know, he can't behold the beauty of the world. And so there's a lot of comparison between being blind and also that handicap, which is like death, not being able to see. Is life fair? Well, in that case, I say no.
Yeah, good comment, Carmine. Hatter, did you want to say something?
Yeah, first of all, you know, these guys are friends, poets, post these to be read, and they'll be listening to it. And I am so sorry that I screwed that up, because it is a beautiful poem. It was the Lisbethian words that got me, the words. I couldn't catch up, but I'm sorry for that. But it's a great poem. I had to reread it again because I ended up struggling even reading the words. I like the rhyme scheme in it. It went four line,
right?
Switched back to two. That was great. It very smooth through the transition. Sometimes it'll trip you up that this is a solid going in from one to the other. Well done, and sorry again.
Hold on. Yeah, I really love this piece, and what's funny is I'm working on a piece about darkness as well, and I wished I hadn't read this piece, because I don't want to get any of it to rub off into my poem, which I try really hard not to do. But I almost put it up tonight, but it wasn't quite done being tweaked. But I'll probably have it ready for next Friday's show I do. But he's an intense writer, just really intense. Okay, we have one more. By L.G. Mace, and it should be up there on the board.
Yeah, I got mine.
You got yours, Carmine?
Yeah.
It's the magic neon green and forest misty blue.
Magic neon green in forest misty blue. Yes, I have that.
That's it. Okay.
It.
All right.
Magic neon green in forest misty blue.
By L.G. Mace. Looking at this image, there are things I see. A little boy wearing clothes of bright colors wrapped in mystery. What brings him here to wander these woods in colors of consistent hue? Are these woods inhabited by fairies playing mystically woven tapestries of illusionhood? He skips and prances following fairies' magic light, a smile on his face, on his happy smiling boy's face. He laughs in utter delight. Time moves on with no marking of the clock's hand. He has fallen into treasure, a piece of Never Never Land. Still he follows that hypnotic fairy lantern to final destination in sight. Will he wander infinitely, forever captured by the magic of his Neverland night? Again, my eyes are drawn to Lisa Alyssa's art that possesses my hypnotic magical view, a boy wearing magic neon green and forest misty blue in poem. I thought this was like a beautiful piece. And somewhere, well, yeah, I just love this. I love the way she used the fairy's light to lure the little boy into the enchanted forest game. She uses an exceptional storyline to gain our trust and like of the poem. I loved her soft rhythmic flow and rhyme scheme she used was musical and soft as well. My favorite part was he skips and prances following fairy's mute magic light, a smile on his happy smiling boyish face. He laughs in utter delight. So enchanting. This is a beautiful poem, which I like very much and would like to see more of poems from this artist. L.G. Mace, thank you for coming to my show tonight. It's an open invitation to you, second and third Friday of the month at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'd love to see more of your work. And with that, I think we're done. Carmine, you got any more jokes?
Do I have any more jokes? yes, I went to the doctor the other day. I got myself a checkup, you know, and he checked my heart. He checked everything. And I was looked at him, and I said to him, I said, hey, doc, I said, how do I stand? So he put his hands on his chin. He looked there, and he says, that's what puzzles me. I said, okay. Thank you very much.
thank you very much.
Well, that's fine for you, my dear.
Carmine, you're a dear. Right on.
I love
you
being
guys,
on your show, my dear. I love being on your show and you know, the comments and really the most inspiring writings that, that you know, just bring life to life and color to your presentation. That's what it has, is color. Like when I was playing with the orchestras and everything and singing and the performances and even the music and the magic of the lyrics, and it's the color that brings out. It's the picture. And just like this neon green and forest misty blue, it's the color. And when you capture the color, then you are the artist. And some artists are far better than
that's
others.
That's so
but
true.
You are the artist. Yeah, and you are an artist, my dear.
And Carmine, I want to thank you for hanging out with me tonight and being my sidekick.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we had a good time. And Hatter,
we
thank
did.
You for showing
we
up
did.
And ushering us
we
out.
Did.
And yeah, we did it all by ourselves tonight, Hatter. It was cool. Yeah. So anyway, I guess it's time to say adieu. And I love you guys, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you again,